You're listening to Workaholic, a podcast that helps professionals like you escape burnout and experience growth. My name is Kiko Mabilog. Thank you for joining me today. What is up, workaholics? You are here with me, Kiko Mabilog. You're listening to Workaholic with Kiko Mabilog, a podcast that helps professionals escape burnout and experience growth so that they can hustle without the hurry. Thank you so much for joining me today. After so long, I can finally publicly say that I hate public speaking and that I no longer consider myself a public speaker. No, the title wasn't clickbait. I really did quit public speaking and I decided to record this podcast to kind of explain why, because I think that there are some lessons that can really help, you know, people who are going through, you know, some decisions to make, whether they want to change careers or they want to move to a different job. And I want to share, you know, some of my experiences and some of the lessons that I've learned that hopefully will also give clarity to people who feel like there needs to be a transition in their career as well. Quick background for some of you who might not really know me or you're listening to my podcast for the first time. I used to speak for a living. Not completely, entirely, but it was one of the most important parts of my personal business. So I started as a consultant and then I wrote a book and my influence got to a point where I was starting to get invitations to speak for companies, to speak about business, to speak about burnout, growth, team building, and just a slew of different topics like that really go around like how can you help a team and a business grow. And as I started to, you know, get into that industry, so to speak, I found some success. I got invitations from like big companies and I started speaking for, you know, companies like call centers and hospitals, and I got invited to work with the government and so on and so forth. I was also invited to do like major like speaking engagements where I was able to speak to thousands of people in one event. And all of that was overwhelming and I'm really grateful for the opportunity. But at some point I decided that I was going to stop that profession. And there were a couple of reasons why I came to that decision. And I want to share those decisions first as kind of like a personal reflection and kind of share like some snippets and nuggets of, you know, realizations that might or might not, or hopefully will, provide some sense of clarity for some of you today who are listening to this or thinking that, is it a time for me to start transitioning in my career as well? I can really focus on three of the many reasons because I think these are the ones that can really, you know, bring forth a lot of realizations for many of you. So the first thing, really, the first reason why I quit public speaking was because I got clear about what brought me joy and what really brought me a sense of fulfillment in what I do. Speaking was something that I was good at for a very long time. I started public speaking at a very young age. I got into impromptu contests when I was in school. I started preaching in our youth service at the age of 13 years old. So it was something that came naturally. And I really loved it. I do love speaking, public speaking, to a certain extent. There are parts of it that I love. But there are also aspects to public speaking that just take a toll on me. One example was, I was telling a friend, I actually did one public speaking gig in 2023. It was for an event for a friend and I volunteered for the event, didn't get paid for it. But I remember after that event, it was a conference, I was exhausted for 3 to 4 days because of all the socializing and having to talk to people who had questions after the event, which if you know me enough and if you're really a friend, you'll know that I would rather just stay at home and record a podcast where I don't really have to talk to many people. As I reflected on my love for communication, I realized that it wasn't really the speaking that was, you know, the part that I loved the most. It was really communicating ideas that I believe to be valuable and to be helpful to people. And that's why I do podcasting and that's why I do writing. And then I realized that I was happier and I still am happier when I'm writing content in the written word format, which is why I have a blog. And when I'm podcasting, when I'm doing this, because these things feel natural to me. People don't see my face. I don't have to dress up. I don't have to, you know, kind of socialize after that. I'm just, so you know, I'm a very big introvert. It's not that I hate people. It's just that it's really work for me. And so if I were given a choice to speak before 5,000 people or to have like a small mentoring coaching session with 2 to 3 people, I would always choose the smaller crowd because that's who I am. And I had to be clear about what brought me joy and what brought me fulfillment. So I committed more to the things, the avenues, the expressions of communication that brought me the most fulfillment. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the next reason why I quit public speaking was because it was starting to pull me away from my family. When I had one child, when we had Alexa, there came a point in my speaking career where I had to start to travel. And a few times I would travel with the family, but it came to a point where it was no longer like time and resource, you know, efficient to do that. And so I had to travel to start speaking alone in other parts of, you know, the Philippines, the country, and some couple of times outside of the country without the family. And it was the most devastating experience for me. I know public speakers that it works for them, and as a family they understand the sacrifice and they embrace it together, but it was not something that I wanted to do and my family wanted to do. A few years ago we had Sam, and then the pandemic happened, so there was a pause basically with all the traveling. So I didn't have to travel. I was doing webinars, I was doing podcasts, I was doing, you know, pre-recorded video web trainings and workshops. And that's when I started to realize that this is way, way better because it doesn't pull me away from my family. I can have a speaking engagement with 1,000 people, or I can do a podcast and pre-record it and then be with my family right after, like literally like 2 minutes after, versus if I have to keep on traveling for work as a speaker, as a professional public speaker, then I would go days, if not weeks, without my family. And that was not something that, again, personally for me, that I wanted to do. When I started getting invitations to speak again, and they were out of town after the pandemic, I just kept turning them down, because I didn't really want to be away from my family for that long anymore. And so, hence came the decision that if this is the case, then might as well kind of, you know, bury, you know, this part or transition out of this part of my career. The last one, which I think was the most difficult to come into terms with, was realizing that so much of my public speaking career was really just a result of calling envy. For so much of my career, I've been around speakers and creators with millions of followers, with dozens of speaking engagements every single month. And so the mentors that I had and the role models that I had, that's what they did to kind of pay the bills. You know, many of you know I work with Chinkitan, and I work basically as like one of his like second in command people for so many years. And so the, you know, the expectation for people outside of the business and the people that I was around with was, are you going to become like Chinky? Are you going to become a speaker? Are you going to become, you know, someone on the stage? And during that time, it was clear to me that I really don't like being on a stage. I would rather be the backstage person. But because there was just that expectation. And also, not just the external expectation, I also started to see as well, you know, the perks of being on the stage. You know, you get influence. People listen to what you have to say. You have authority, and so therefore, well, let's face it, it makes you popular, it makes you feel powerful. And, you know, I kind of liked it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, the perks were kind of there. And of course, there was a lot of money in it. I remember the first time that I charged like this ridiculous amount of money for a speaking engagement, and the client said yes, and that was like the biggest paycheck that I ever got from one single project. And all it took was like a 2-hour talk. And with one 2-hour talk, I was going to earn like basically 3 months of my salary during that time. I had day job during that time, and I was slowly easing into public speaking. I was very, you know, very fresh in kind of like the industry. And it was lucrative. It was really lucrative, and it provided a lot of value to companies. And I got good at team buildings. I got good at, you know, trying to figure out ways to help teams work together and jive and build good work culture. But eventually, it got clear to me that I really didn't want the lifestyle or the career as a whole. Because I saw the perks, I saw the good sides, but there were also bad sides to it. You know, I started saying that I would be like, you know, these people someday without even asking myself the question, was this really something that I was called to do? Is this really something that's really aligned with what I believe is my calling and my gifting? And eventually I realized that my calling and gifting was completely different from them. I wasn't a stage person because A, I hate the limelight. Number one, literally because it gives me migraines after just looking at, you know, spotlights. And really the limelight, I just don't like the attention. I like being anonymous. I would rather go around the mall without people, you know, pulling you left and right for a photograph. It just gives me chills to this very day. I also started seeing the dark side of the speaker industry. Being away from my family was one of them, which I mentioned already earlier. But I also started seeing the industry politics where, at the end of the day, you're speakers, you're friends, you're collaborators, but you're still competitors. And so there's a lot of, like, you know, bickering that happens when you don't say it in the back end. But that's really what happens. It's like, bayan, this person stole my client, and, you know, and then there's conversations, and you have to, you know, kind of appease one another after that. I just didn't like it. I mean, I just found it very childish, to be honest. And then also at the same time, like, one thing that I really didn't like was having to socialize with clients. I really didn't like it. I mean, there was one time I was invited, I had to fly out to a province that was not accessible by one flight. And so I had to fly to Manila and then fly to the province. I'm not going to say which one because it will give it away. But I had to fly Manila from Iloilo and then fly from Manila to that province. So I was in the airport for like, I don't know, like 8 hours. Airport plus flight, because it was a connecting flight. And then when I arrived at the province, I had to go out to dinner at like 8 o'clock with the director of the organization that hired me. And I couldn't say no because, well, they were paying the bills. And they were paying, you know, for everything, the plane fare, the nice hotel they got for me, etc., etc. So I hated it. I'm just not type to socialize because you're a client. And that's what one of the reasons why I love, you know, the agency work that we do right now in Blockland Strategy, is because there's just so much less of that having to socialize, because the clients that we work with, you know, are pretty straightforward. You know, we work online. We probably meet like once or twice a year, right? So there is still space for socializing, but there's no need to socialize for the sake of socializing. And so those were some things that became very clear for me. So what are some key lessons I think that I would really want to share to you from what I experienced? The first lesson is you have to really know what you want to do. And really the reason why I'm recording this is because I came from a coaching session earlier this morning with someone. And that was the question that she wanted to answer. I want to know, what do I want to do? And if you're not clear about your purpose or your calling, there's a very big chance that that's happening because of calling envy, which is the third reason that I shared. Or sometimes it's also because, you know, you start to see your role model and you think that you have to copy their template like blow for blow. But what you really have to do is find how you express yourself best. So know what you want to do. What's the best way for you to express, you know, your calling, your purpose, your gifts, you for like you maybe you're like me, you realize at a young age that you're good at communication and you thought that you really had to do public speaking, not realizing that there are other expressions of that passion that you have. Secondly, is you need to be clear about why you want it. So it's not just about what you do, but why do you want it? And I think one of the biggest temptations or the biggest traps really when it comes to career is when you want a career just because you want the perks and the positive things that come along with it. You like the paycheck, you like the position, the power, you like the fame, you like the limelight, but you don't see the things in the background that people who are in the industry won't readily tell you. The politics, the sacrifice, having to be away from your family, etc., etc. Whatever it is, the under the tables that you have to pay just to get clients, having to deal with invoices that don't get paid on time. The list is endless. So be clear about why you want it. Do you want it just because of the perks? Or do you really want it because it's really something that you feel like you're called to do? And even if you have to sacrifice, even if you have to face all of these challenges, that's okay for you because you really believe that that career or that profession or that path is for you. And lastly, it's to know what's valuable. So you know what you need to work for and what you're going to have to sacrifice. For me, the example really was family. Family is obviously a value that I cherish and that I protect and I safeguard. And if there's a career path for me that provides all of these perks, but it pulls me away from my family for more time than I want, then that's not going to be the profession I'm going to choose in the long term. So what's going to happen now for Patrick Mabilog? Does that mean that I'm no longer going to speak? I still am going to speak. But now I only do public speaking for events and people that I want to. I mean, it's no longer something that provides, you know, a significant revenue. We've built the business in a way where that's no longer part of the revenue stream. We streamlined all the people who were part of that department of our business. We no longer have staff for that. No longer do invoices for that. Took that out of the business model. It's no longer a profession. No longer a calling. It's a hobby. And it's something that I do for friends and for organizations that really matter to me, like church and ministries and probably some friends here and there who might want to do a business summit or business event and they want me to speak. But even then, probably 50-50. 50% I'll say no to and 50% I'll say, what the heck, let's do it. So I hope that these realizations have, you know, kind of brought you value as well. If you're in a position where you feel like you're about to transition, try to take some of these lessons. Try to apply them in your life. For all you know, it's about time that you made a change, and that change is going to bring you more work fulfillment. It's going to bring you closer to your calling, and it's really going to increase the level of impact that you have. Sometimes not, you know, even the quantity, but just the quality of impact that you're able to make. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I'll see you next time around. Bye.